Coming up next on Passion Struck, you can say the perfect thing and still not be heard. You can have the data, the words, the credentials, and still miss the connection. Because the truth is, communication doesn't start with language. It starts with awareness. In this episode, we're starting a brand new series on the connected life by exploring the one skill that transforms how you connect with anyone else. Our inner awareness. Whether you lead a team, raise a family, or simply want to show up more fully in your relationships, this conversation is about coming home to yourself so you can genuinely meet others. Welcome to Passion Struck. Hi, I'm your host, John R. Miles, and on the show, we decipher the secrets, tips, and guidance of the world's most inspiring people and turn their wisdom into practical advice for you and those around you. Our mission is to help you unlock the power of intentionality so that you can become the best version of yourself. If you're new to the show, I offer advice and answer listener questions on Fridays. We have long-form interviews the rest of the week with guests ranging from astronauts to authors, CEOs, creators, innovators, scientists, military leaders, visionaries, and athletes. Now, let's go out there and become Passion Struck. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Passion Struck episode 621. I am so grateful you're here, investing in your growth, your presence, and your pursuit of a life that deeply matters. Whether you're building a company, rebuilding a relationship, or simply trying to be more present in your daily life, this is where we explore the mindset, habits, and systems that fuel lasting connection. So here are a few quick updates. The Ignited Life, my new Substack, is live. It's your weekly dose of clarity, strategy, and soul for designing a life that reflects who you truly are. You can also explore our new merch line, designed to express the Passion Struck ethos, at theignitedlife.net or passionstruck.com. And if you haven't yet, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're sharing full episodes, micro moments, and behind-the-scenes insights every week. Just search Passion Struck with John R. Miles, or click the link in the show notes. Lastly, if this episode truly resonates with you, please take 60 seconds and leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It goes a long way in supporting our mission and brings new listeners into the community. Now, here's what's new on Passion Struck. This month, we're beginning a new series I'm calling The Connected Life, because communication isn't just a skill to sharpen. It's the thread that ties us to each other and to ourselves. It's how we lead, how we love, and how we make meaning, not just through words, but through presence, awareness, and emotional clarity. We're kicking things off with some of the most thought-provoking conversations I've had on this show. Last week, we started off the series with organizational psychologist Dr. Andrew Brodsky, who revealed what most virtual teams overlook, that our environments, screens, and silence aren't just technical, they're emotional. And when the camera's off, so is connection. Then came a grounding, generous dialogue with the legendary Jon Kabat-Zinn. His reminder was simple, but profound, that presence, true presence, isn't just mindful, it's magnetic, and it changes how we show up in every relationship we have. And in a candid, laugh-out-loud, sometimes gut-wrenching conversation, I sat down with Cass and Mike Lazaro, partners in business, in life, and in parenting. Their new book, Shoveling Shit, doesn't shy away from the mess. It embraces it. Because real connection doesn't come from perfect conversations. It comes from staying present in the hard ones. And that's what this series is all about. Understanding the deeper layers of how we relate, listen, and truly connect. All of it leads us here. Today's solo episode is the soul of the series. And it's titled, How Inner Awareness Fuels a Connected Life. Because authentic communication doesn't start in the meeting, or the pitch, or even in the kitchen. It starts in the mirror. And it's not about perfect phrasing or polished delivery. It's about who you are when no one's watching. So when the moment comes, you're speaking from truth, not performance. If you've ever felt like your relationships aren't reaching the depth you crave, or your leadership isn't landing the way it should, it might not be about what you're saying. It might be where you're saying it from. So let's get into it. Thank you for choosing Passion Struck and choosing me to be your host and guide on your journey to creating an intentional life. Now, let that journey begin. You felt it, even if you couldn't name it. You're mid-conversation. Words are flowing. Smiles are exchanged. And yet, something feels hollow. They're saying the right things. Maybe you are too. But underneath it all, it feels like you're both performing. Like two actors hitting their marks without ever actually meeting. Why? Because connection doesn't begin with what you say. It begins with who you are when you say it. And that's where we start today. The core truth, real connection begins within. Before you can truly connect with someone else, you have to be connected to yourself, not just in thought, but in feeling, emotionally, energetically. This is the part we skip. We chase scripts, techniques, frameworks, hoping they'll help us speak more clearly, listen more actively, influence more powerfully. But without inner awareness, all of it is just choreography. It's not the words that create connection. It's the presence behind them. This is something I talked about recently in episode 563 with Allison Wood Brooks, a professor at Harvard Business School. Allison studies conversations for a living, and what she said stuck with me. When you're really listening to someone, she told me, you're also holding a mirror to yourself. That line hit me hard because I felt that mirror. And maybe you have too. Someone shares a story and it's like hearing your own, not just their words, but your memories, your insecurities, your longing to be seen. That's the secret most communication strategies miss. What deepens connection isn't just expression, it's reflection. And that reflection begins on the inside. Let me take you to one of the most uncomfortable learning curves of my adult life, improv. When I first started, I thought I was a pretty good communicator. I went to Toastmasters. I had been on many stages as a keynote speaker, and I knew how to speak on my feet. I had presence. I could lead a room. So how hard could it be to jump into a sketch and respond in real time? Turns out, it's really hard. Because improv didn't just expose how quick I was, it exposed how much I was performing. Instead of playing the scene, I was trying to manage how I looked in the scene. I wasn't listening to my partner. I was scanning the audience. I wasn't reacting. I was calculating. It hit me hard one night during a warm-up game. My partner threw out a ridiculous line. I froze. Not because I didn't have a comeback, but because I was silently judging it, wondering how I could twist it into something funnier or more in control. That's when I realized I wasn't in the moment. I was protecting myself from it. My mouth went dry. My brain spun. And in that silence, I heard something louder than laughter, fear. And that's where so many of us lose the thread in conversation. We think we're connecting, but we're actually performing, pleasing, protecting, posturing. We're contorting ourselves, trying to be interesting, likable, competent, in control. And in the process, we disconnect from our own voice. Dr. Brooks, who I mentioned earlier, has explored this in depth. She describes how our fear of being judged shifts us into impression management mode. It's subtle, but powerful. We tweak our tone. We censor our stories. We try to read the room while quietly abandoning ourselves in the process. There's a name for this. Social mirroring. It's the tendency to unconsciously mold ourselves to fit the energy or expectations of the person in front of us. In high stakes or unfamiliar settings, this kicks in fast. We scan for cues. We match their pace. We nod even when we disagree. We offer compliments instead of honesty. Not because we're fake, but because we're wired to seek safety in sameness. But here's the cost. When you're constantly shape-shifting, you lose clarity on who you are. And if you're not anchored internally, your words might land, but your presence won't. Psychologist Susan David puts it this way. Discomfort is the price of admission to a meaningful life. And that includes meaningful connection. Because authenticity isn't just a buzzword. It's a nervous system state. When you're grounded in your values and emotions, when you know what you're feeling and why, you show up differently. People can feel it, even if they can't name it. That's what I learned in improv. It wasn't about saying the cleverest thing. It was about saying the truest thing from a place of play, presence, and permission to be fully myself. And that same principle applies everywhere, from the boardroom to the dinner table. If you've ever left a conversation feeling strangely hollow, this might be why. You weren't fake, but maybe you weren't fully there either. So the question isn't just, am I communicating clearly? It's, am I communicating from connection or from performance? That's where real transformation starts, not in mastering the script, but in trusting the speaker. So if inner disconnection is what erodes impact, what does alignment look like in action? Let's take a breath here. I mean a big inhale and exhale. Everything we've talked about, why connection breaks down, why you might leave a conversation feeling off, hollow, or just unseen, it all leads to this. Inner awareness isn't soft. It's structural. It's not a nice to have. It's the very foundation of trust, clarity, and impact. When you're turned into what's happening inside, emotionally, physically, mentally, you don't just communicate better. You communicate from truth, and that changes everything. There's a word I keep coming back to for this: inner congruence. It's when your emotions, values, and voice all point in the same direction. There's no silent tug of war inside, no second guessing the thing you just said. You're not performing, you're present. And the people you're with, they can feel it. They might not be able to articulate it, but they know the difference between someone who's centered and someone who's compensating, between clarity and cleverness, between honesty and performance. Think of someone like Brené Brown. She doesn't just tell powerful stories. She invites you into her actual experience. There's no mask, just honesty, grounded in real self-awareness. Or former President Barack Obama, calm, deliberate, tuned in even when everything around him was moving fast. His impact didn't just come from his words. It came from where those words were coming from. That's not a communication trick. That's emotional regulation. And the science is clear. When you're stressed or dysregulated, your ability to read emotional nuance tanks. You miss cues. You misinterpret tone. Your nervous system is busy protecting, not connecting. But when you're regulated, when your internal world is steady, you can attune, adapt, and show up with presence. And that's when connection becomes possible. Let's make this more practical. Here's a simple equation I've used with clients, teams, and in my own life. Aligned communication equals self-awareness plus emotional presence plus psychological safety. It breaks down like this. Self-awareness means you actually know what's going on inside. You can name it. I'm feeling tense. I'm feeling open. I'm afraid this won't land. Emotional presence means you're not just aware of these feelings, you're willing to be with them instead of escaping them or pretending they're not there. You're staying in the pocket with what's real. And psychological safety is what happens when the people around you feel like they can do the same. No pretending, no posturing, just space for truth. So here's a quick self-check. I want you to ask yourself, do I know what I feel right now? Am I listening to understand or just waiting for my turn? Is the response coming from calm or from a need to control? Even one pause to ask these questions can change the entire tone of a conversation. And that brings us to something crucial, because inner congruence doesn't just happen. It's not a gift. It's a practice. It's the result of tiny, invisible habits you build long before the hard conversations show up. It's the inner work that shapes your tone, your timing, your truth. And when you start paying attention to those cues, you start to realize something. Connection doesn't come from charisma. It comes from congruence. Now, a quick pause before we go further. If this is landing, stay with me. Because up next, I'm going to walk you through four powerful practices that change how connection feels. Not just for others, but for you. But first, a quick break. Welcome back. If you've been nodding along so far, maybe seeing your own patterns of disconnection, or recognizing where your communication sometimes feels just a little off, this next part is where we turn insight into practice. Because inner awareness isn't just something you have, it's something you build. And the way you build it, it's through rhythm, through small, repeatable habits that keep you rooted when it would be easier to react. I call these the four practices of inner-led connection. They've changed the way I lead, the way I parent, the way I show up in hard conversations. And I've seen them do the same for people across all kinds of roles and relationships. So let's talk through each one, not just as ideas, but as invitations. These are tools you can use starting now. Let's start with what's happening beneath the surface. Emotional self-awareness is knowing what you feel and being honest about it, at least with yourself. If you've ever walked into a meeting or a conversation carrying tension you didn't name, you know how fast that energy spreads. And if you don't name it, you'll either shove it down or push it on to someone else. But when you can pause and say, "I'm feeling anxious," or "I'm a little closed off right now," even silently, you give yourself the chance to respond instead of reacting. And that makes you safer to be around, because now you're not broadcasting static, you're tuned in. The second practice is about congruence, your internal alignment, that invisible click between what you believe, what you say, and what you do. When those three line up, people trust you even before you say a word. Why? Because they don't have to decode you. There's no dissonance, no subtle tension between your face and your voice, your promise and your presence. What you say is who you are, and people can feel that. When I think about the most magnetic communicators I know, they're not always the most eloquent, but they are congruent. What they say matches how they live, and that congruence creates trust. Because let's be honest, we're all pretty good lie detectors. We may not know exactly what feels off, but when someone's words and energy don't match, we sense it. Internal alignment is what fixes that. And it's built through reflection, honesty, and the courage to recalibrate when you're off track. Now, number three hits home for a lot of us, especially high achievers. This one took me years to learn. I used to think that being a good communicator meant being polished, saying the right thing in the right tone at the right time. But here's what I found. You don't need to be impressive to be impactful. You need to be real. We're so used to being on, to getting things right, to being polished, that we forget. People don't connect with polish. They connect with presence. Authenticity isn't about oversharing. It's about not hiding. It's the courage to be a little more human, even when the stakes are high. And ironically, that's what makes you magnetic. I've seen this on stage, in podcast interviews, even in tough feedback conversations. The moment I drop the mask, the moment I stop trying to sound smart or get it right, is usually the moment when people lean in. Now, this doesn't mean being messy just for the sake of it. It means not filtering out the parts of you that are human. It means showing up as a full person, not a curated persona. The leaders we trust most aren't perfect. They're real. You don't need to impress people. You need to meet them. And this leads us to the last one that might be the most important and the hardest to cultivate, the energy of mattering. When you know you matter, you show up from fullness, not from a need to be filled. You don't chase validation. You don't twist yourself to be liked. You speak from a deeper place, a place of enoughness. And that changes the tone of everything. Think about the people you felt most connected to in your life. Chances are, they didn't need something from you in that moment. They weren't proving or performing. They were present, and their presence made space for yours. That's what the energy of mattering does. It invites trust. It softens defenses. It allows for real connection to happen, because it's not grasping, it's offering. And here's what I have learned over and over again. You can't fake this. You have to feel it in your bones, which means doing the work daily, quietly to remember your worth, to stay rooted in who you are, especially in moments when you're tempted to reach, to please, to prove. Let's bring it together. These four practices, emotional self-awareness, internal alignment, authenticity, and the energy of mattering, aren't just communication tools. They're capacity builders. They help you hold more truth in a conversation, more nuance, more discomfort, more humanity. And that's what makes connection real. Not scripts, not strategies, but the inner work that allows you to meet another person from a place of wholeness. Because at the end of the day, what people are really responding to is you, your presence, your clarity, your coherence. And the only way to offer that is to build it within. Let's stay with the momentum. If the four foundations give you the why of inner-led connection, these next rituals give you the how. But I want you to hear this clearly. This isn't about adding more to your day. It's about meeting yourself inside it. Because knowing what to do is one thing. Remembering to do it in the moments that count, that's something else entirely. That's where practice comes in, not in the performative sense, but in the quiet daily rhythm that helps you return to yourself so you can return to others more fully. These aren't grand rituals, they're grounding ones. They're what keep you tethered when emotions spike, when stakes feel high, or when you're tempted to abandon your own clarity for the sake of control or comfort. Let me start with a conversation I had with Jon Kabat-Zinn. We were talking about the challenge of being present, really present, in a world that constantly pulls you out of yourself. Jon said something that stuck with me. Most people think of mindfulness as a thing to do, but it's really a way of being. It's a difference between acting like you're listening and actually listening with your whole body, your whole attention, your whole presence. That right there is the shift. You don't just build presence by deciding to be present. You build it by making space to notice what's true inside you before you step into the conversation. So what does that look like in practice? I'll walk you through three simple, powerful rituals that have helped me reconnect with myself so I can connect more deeply with others. Think of them as tuning forks. Each one helps you check your internal signal so you're not just reacting, but responding from a place that's grounded, true, and intact. The first one I'm going to talk about is the check-in ritual, naming before engaging. Let me be real with you. I don't always get this one right. There are days I walk into conversations half distracted, half defensive, already wound up from something else. I nod. I respond. But if I'm honest, I'm not really there. My presence is thin. My energy's scattered. That's why this practice matters. Not because I've mastered it, but because I need it. Before any meaningful interaction, whether it's a work meeting, a check-in with my wife, or dinner with friends, I try to pause just for 60 seconds, and I ask myself, what's actually going on in me right now? What am I bringing into this moment? Am I grounded, or am I already performing? Most of the time, I'm surprised by what I find. Maybe I'm more anxious than I realized. Maybe I'm distracted. Maybe I'm holding tension I haven't named. And yeah, sometimes I skip this. I forget. I rush in and miss the moment. But when I do remember to pause, everything shifts. It doesn't make me perfect. It just makes me present. And that's the goal, not to nail the interaction, but to show up real. If you try this even once today, you'll notice the difference, not just in how others respond, but in how you feel being there. Now, the next one is more reflective. Every Friday afternoon or Sunday evening, depending how the week went, I ask myself three questions. Where did I feel off this week? Where did I fake it a little? And what could coming back to center look like? It's not about shame. It's not about overanalyzing. It's about course correction, a quiet moment to notice the drift. Mike Lazzaro talked about this in our interview from yesterday. He said that when things got hard, whether at work or home, the thing that kept his relationship with his wife Cass strong was that he didn't pretend it wasn't messy. They called it out. They named it early, not because they had it all figured out, but because they were committed to returning to center. And that's what this audit is. It's how you build internal alignment. One honest check-in at a time. And this brings us to the third practice, the worth ritual, mattering without performance. And this ritual is often overlooked, not because it's simple, but because it's the hardest. Every day, just once, I give myself 5 minutes where I don't do anything to earn my place in the world. No email, no agenda, no metric to hit. Sometimes it's just a breath before I open my laptop. Sometimes it's standing in the kitchen, coffee in hand, just whispering something simple like, I matter. Before I speak, before I prove anything, I matter. And this sounds small, but when you've spent your life tying your worth to your performance, it's radical. It rewires something, because when you believe you matter, you stop asking every conversation to give you that feeling. You start offering your presence from fullness, not emptiness, and people feel the difference instantly. So these are the three practices we discussed: the check-in for emotional presence, the audit for inner alignment, and the worth ritual for grounded authenticity. These practices aren't about adding more to your to-do list. They're about subtracting noise, so the signal of who you really are can come through. And the more you practice that, the less you have to prove. Because real connection doesn't come from perfect words. It comes from a clear channel, a coherent presence, a nervous system that isn't bracing, but listening. And that's something anyone can build, starting today. And that's something you can build. One pause, one practice, one real moment at a time. Let's bring this full circle back to that moment in improv, back to the realization that I wasn't really in the scene. I was calculating, curating, trying to get it right. But communication isn't a script. It's not a performance. It's a reflection. Every time you speak, you're not just offering words, you're offering presence, and people can tell the difference. The whole journey we've taken in this episode, from emotional awareness to alignment to mattering without performance, has led to one truth. The most powerful conversations don't come from charisma, they come from congruence. From someone who knows where they stand, from someone who's not chasing connection, but living from it. And that doesn't mean you'll get it right every time. I sure don't. But it does mean you'll start to feel the shift. You'll leave fewer conversations feeling hollow. You'll notice when you're performing. And more often, you'll pause. You'll breathe. You'll come back to center. So here's what I want to leave you with today. A simple invitation. Before your next conversation, don't ask, how can I be impressive? Ask, how can I be honest? Because in a world full of noise, presence is magnetic. Not perfection, not polish, just presence. And that starts with you, with your inner awareness, with your willingness to meet yourself first, so you can meet others with clarity, depth, and truth. And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for being here. If this episode opened something for you, I hope you'll share it with a colleague, a partner, a friend, someone who's been feeling the gap and wants something more than surface-level connection. For more tools like this, don't forget to subscribe to The Ignited Life, our weekly Substack with stories, frameworks, and tools to design a life that reflects who you are. And if you're a paid subscriber, you'll also get the workbook for today's episode. Check out our YouTube channel for full interviews, behind-the-scenes content, and exclusive leadership insights. And yes, we even have merch, gear that reflects the mindset of living passionstruck. You can find it at either passionstruck.com or at theignitedlife.net. And next week, our series on the connected life continues. Susan Giesman joins me for a powerful conversation about what it means to live a divinely guided life, not just from mind or strategy, but from spirit, purpose, and presence.
When you realize that hurt people and that we came here to learn by trial and error, the prayer or statement or mantra, whatever you want to call it, that has made the biggest difference for me is to say to higher consciousness, forgive me for ever thinking I was anything less than love. Because that's when we make mistakes, when we don't realize we're not only human, that we're souls. So it's really, forgive me for that action, because if I had remembered I was a soul, I wouldn't have done that.
Until then, notice more, connect with what's real, and live life passion struck.